This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. Standing 6'2", 300 and something pounds from the south shore of Nassau County, Long Island, it's John Gabris. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine from A Star Is Born? Yeah, it's me. Abortion is healthcare. Thank you for that. Slightly updating you as a reference. Also joining me in High My Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur is in the living room. He's limping. His arthritis is acting up, so he's on a low pillow. He will not be hanging out in the office because the couch is too high for him. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, his new special is called Spiritually Filthy. You can find it on YouTube. It's comedian Mort Burke.
That intro got me rock hard, which I was not expecting.
Mission accomplished. And I believed you, but thank you for showing me. Like, I didn't doubt it, but now you're right. That's rock, baby.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah. No, I'm not a coward. I mean, you know what I mean? I come absolutely correct.
I back it the fuck up when I. Well, Mort, it's a pleasure to meet you on air, but this is fucking thrilling for me because when you threw out your topic, it's something I haven't really talked about at length. But something that's a part of my life in a weird way.
Dude, I'm very interested. How so?
I, as any 41-year-old who grew up in the 90s, got into skateboarding. And I used to skate. I used to steal 411 DVDs from Brand's Bicycle Shop. And I would steal Bauer ball bearings. And I would steal so much shit from local skate shops. Shoplifting and skateboarding coincided in a real, like, light, a middle-class punk way for me.
I totally respect and understand. And also, the only people we shouldn't shoplift from is skateboard shops. Yeah. Everyone else I endorse.
Totally agree.
but
if you want skateboarding stuff, you're not going to be able to shoplift it from Marshalls.
And you know, I got the cash, they'll understand. You know what I mean? It's a part of the culture. We're all little weird, filthy delinquents. You got to learn how to sticky fingers. Okay, so 401, so you're buying 401s on DVDs. So my assumption is that must have been probably like from 4120 on.
No, it might. Yeah, I'm not positive which one it was. And they might have even been VHS.
Yeah,
to be honest.
It definitely started on VHS. I had 401 number one for sure. And it was definitely on VHS at least through the 20s.
Oh, yeah, because I was done skateboarding for by 97, 98. So, I was skating this would be 94 through 97 and never did more than an ollie and couldn't even keep up with my friends on pure transportation standpoint. Like, we'd be like, let's skate to McDonald's. I'd be like, great. And halfway through, I'd be kind of half jogging in my fucking jeans, holding a fucking my deck under my arm like a fucking loser.
Bros, I feel sick, bro.
Wait for me, dudes. Well, yeah. Oh, wait. I like when we set up a rail and you guys grind it and I kind of just sit on my board and go.
Oh, dude, I did a lot of standing around watching people rip. That's part of the whole get. You know what I mean? I'm such a nerd for skateboarding still to this day, probably because I didn't get that good. Do you know what I mean?
That's how you stay, because then you're not disappointed in yourself ever. That's luckily why I'm still such a student of the world, because I've never mastered literally anything.
Yeah.
The closest thing I have to mastery is improv, and that's humiliating to say out loud, so I refuse to cop to that.
Dude, you and I had very similar lives, I think, which are and I think we're appropriately embarrassed about the path that they took.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. That is wholeheartedly me. So are you still skateboarding? That's my question.
Yeah, I mean, dude, so I went to the skate park 2 days ago. I rolled around. I did a couple of little ollies. Yeah, it's at the sad point where it's as much about calisthenics as it is anything else.
It's almost, it's just fitness. It's a way to move, to make sure you move. Yeah, that's fucking helpful.
These old crack-a-lacky bones needs to get some, you know what I mean, some dust off of them or whatever. So, I went to a skateboard shop today. I was going to try and get some shoes, and they didn't have what I wanted, so I bought some sunglasses to try and support my local, because that's an important thing. It's it's hard to keep a skate shop open.
Dude, I know. It's so, because you think Amazon ate the lunch of so many fucking businesses, but I think it's those specific businesses that I'll tell you a business I haven't used since I was 13, thanks to Amazon, GNC. buying supplements used to be like, I go to the supplement store to get my creatine or my protein powder or my multivitamins.
Uh-huh. Right.
Now it's like that that's Amazon Eats. And so these specifics where you're like, I could probably order independent trucks from Amazon or whatever, you know, like, and that makes, and you're like, well, there's one skate shop, it's four towns away, or I could have this delivered to my house in 2 days.
And 2 days. And then, right, and to get exactly what I want, like, you know, the warehouse of any option I ever desire. Instead of going to the place, you're like, well, shit, they only got like 20 boards and 10 pairs of shoes. But the thing is so important about the skate shop, it is part of the culture. So that's like where you go to learn from the older kids, like what is tasteful, who is important in the lineage of skateboarding, like what's cool, what's not. So you can learn the rules so you can break them. It's like a whole important aspect.
Well, now with hindsight as a grown-up, I totally see that. And like, I'm like, oh, and also you should want to support the store that's based on your hobby in a way, right? Like, we had Alical Cruz Surf Shop in my hometown on Long Island. We had a surf shop in town who sold some skateboard stuff. The bicycle shop sold skateboard stuff. But in the 90s, I feel like you can go one town in each direction and hit a skate shop. Now, I would text my brothers and find out that there's probably no more skate. There's probably one skate shop on Long Island, and it's totally like kept open by like dozens of Groms who hang out there like every day.
Yeah, and you were lucky in New York too, because you had there were tons of skate shops. Like we had. I'm from St. Louis, and we had two, and they were 30 miles apart. But if you're living in like Iowa, I don't know how many. There was like probably one skate shop in the whole state at that point.
Yeah, that's something crazy. I take that for granted sometimes, where I forget, where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm from the suburbs. It's like this. And people are like, I'm from what is called rural. And I'm like, oh, right. Like my neighbor was further away than your skate shop was.
Yeah, they're like, I'm from fucking Oklahoma, where meth is my mayor. You know what I mean? Like, it's a whole different fucking deal when you're in like the Badlands trying to figure out what you're doing.
Like, where's the nearest hipster thing? It's like, oh, not, it's only in the city area. Got it. Okay. Well, next time I have a field trip in school, I'll try to sneak off and buy my Airwalks.
Right.
Well, I had a question. When you said you're looking to buy shoes, what shoes are you currently looking for? Has skate shoe technology changed a bunch? Because my barber is like a 24-year-old kid. He's a big-time skater. Uh-huh. And he just plays hip-hop music and YouTubes of skate videos while he cuts my hair. So I've been watching about 45 minutes a month of skate videos. I'm so happy to have them. But I notice how the gear and tech hasn't like changed at all. Like everyone's still in like khakis or jeans and a baggy t-shirt, maybe a bean. Everyone's got their sort of like, yeah, I have like tube socks and board shorts on. Like everyone dresses so the same. Like other sports, everything has changed and like streamlined and like a performance and, oh, you need this, you need that. And like nothing about, there are more boards that people are skating on for fun, but nothing else has really changed about the sport.
Yeah, you're saying like some of the shaped boards are different, right? They're like, yeah, they have, but they're not just a popsicle. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, not just a popsicle. We used to have the popsicle and then what we called old school skateboard, which is like the tail pad and like the kind of fat nose. I had that first.
Yes. Well, okay. So Gabriel, so your generation really, if you're having a beautiful nostalgic trip through memory lane about what a beautiful time that was in skateboarding, you're not incorrect. Like 94 to 98 was incredible.
Like I did feel like it was crazy how many people I knew skateboarded.
And the uniform had kind of cleaned up a little bit. In the early 90s, everybody dressed like kind of sloppy ravers. Like it was terrible giant, but then it got a little more hip hop in like 95. So it started to be like tasteful jeans and like whatever, just like a t-shirt, but like
a toy machine t-shirt with like a little devil horns on it or some shit like that.
But so I think there's a couple things going on here, which is that like kids today, whatever, there is an element of them kind of hearkening back to the golden days, right? Like today I was maybe gonna go try and buy a pair of DC Lynx,
okay,
which is like a mid-90s fucking runnery looking like high-tech fat tongue 90s shoe, and that is like, that's available because there is, it all goes in cycles, right? So there's people. So now in skate videos, they're playing a lot of like emo and a lot of like trap, and they're dressing a lot like we did in maybe like 92. But there are a lot of different styles of skateboarding, right? Like, although they all start have, they've started to mesh a little bit more, but what you're talking about with like the tube socks and the shorts, that's a little bit more like maybe California Hesh style. Yeah. So that dude might be more likely to like rip a pool and skate a handrail, as opposed to a kid who might be dressing a little more hip hop and is doing tech shit down at Jaquan in like the middle of LA. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what's tech shit when you say that?
Like a nolly flip frontside crooked grind or something. Like
like they're aiming for like nailing tricks. Like, oh shit, this one's kind of complicated. I want to pull it off.
Yes, exactly. Tech meaning like technical. Exactly.
Okay,
and like,
yeah.
There's something about that skateboarding because it tends to be more city that is also a little bit more like hip hop influence. And I keep talking about that because I feel like skateboarding, the way that it moves, is inseparable from music in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like they build the skateboard parts around the song that they're using. And I just listened to an interview with Jamie Thomas, who you may remember from Toy Machine in the 90s.
Yes.
So he started Zero Skateboards, but he had this thing of like, okay, so first of all, a skateboard part is like a musician's album, right? Like they work for years to put 3 minutes of footage together. And he was saying he would try to get a band where the lead singer, like if the skateboarder was a lead singer of a band, what would that band sound like?
Oh, cool.
So like skateboarding in the 70s when Tony Alva started like shredding bowls and it became like this especially outsider kind of contrarian rock and roll thing. They were listening like Ted Nugent before he sucked, right? Like when he was still just the Motor City Ripper or whatever, you know? So that was like indistinguishable from the music they were listening to. So in the 90s, when people started listening about more hip hop, it just became, and again, the golden age of hip hop. So lots of like sick, like, jazz rap, a lot of like fucking Guru, a lot of Nas, a lot of Wu-Tang. Like skateboarding started to look smoother and got more like kind of city. Like the tricks got more tech and people started to look smoother and skateboarding started to look better, I would say, at that point.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I remember there was no skate park. I mean, there was, but we weren't nowhere near that level ever. But there was like one on Long Island, but it was like, it would always be like, there's this waxed high curb that's perfect, or this this one railing, this one banister, this one set of stairs by the library that is perfect. And you'd show up there and there'd maybe be kids outside of your friend group who are also skaters that you kind of know from, and you're like, okay. And we do, and then you would like, this was pre-internet, but then you would hear about like, you would watch like a video and be like, oh, the pool, right? That's why it's a level in skate or die. Like, oh, the pool, TNC surf design, like playing video games. And then eventually THPS2, the fucking, the Madden of skateboarding, Tony Hawk
the
Pro
Alpha
Skater.
And yeah. Sigma. Yes, totally.
Oh God, was that game took over my fucking life. Ace of Spades is like burned into my head from playing that game so fucking much. But it was cool to find out that like when it blew out like that and you're like, oh shit, there are like other ways to skate. And then like when later on in life, there's like longboards and it's like, oh, that they're not for tricks. They're just for traveling. And you're like,
yeah,
wait a minute. That's starting to sound up. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to blow out my ACL trying to do a fucking kickflip,
yeah.
But just cruising sounds fabulous, you know?
Yeah, and what you're talking about, that the banister down by the library, makes me think of two things, which is like how magical that is, that there's a part of your neighborhood that is like a specific destination that's not designed for the activity that you're performing on it. So it's like this magical fucking treasure hunt situation. And it's like when you were a little kid, you had a playground and that felt like exciting and new and fresh and magical. And then as you get older, it's like a little more punk because you're not supposed to be there, but it has the same like energy of play, right?
Yes.
And I think it's a thing we can really lose as adults. And then also you're talking about in the 90s of like learning periodically a little bit more information, It, you know, not, and I love the internet. All of it. No, that's what
I'm a like, big fan of everything about it, man.
Indiscriminately, everything that's on the internet, I love it.
I co-sign every YouTube video.
From human trafficking to your whatever recipe, I love it. But so like, it was a really interesting time where it felt like a treasure hunt, where you're like, oh, there's this kind of new information coming in and I got to wait, and it comes in a little bit of a time. It just all felt like new discoveries all the time of like, the sickest, most exciting, coolest shit possible. That's what it felt like to me.
Well, along those lines, it always, the way you learned was like, I used to call it like the friend's older brother network.
Yes.
I didn't have any older brothers, but my friends had older siblings, and they'd be like, oh, you guys skate? Have you guys gone to blank? Because I used to skate. Or older kids at the fucking railing at the library going, have you guys ever done down in Wantagh, down by the dock? There's that long ass. And you're like, no. And then it's like new info. Or even like, I learned the drag kick, whatever. You know, like you learn something from an older kid, or an older kid mentioned something. Or in my case, you see an older kid in like an Independent Trucks t-shirt and you're like, that's my skateboarding look. I'm going to like go for that guy. Like,
yes.
And that's all we had. Like that was our internet, was like a weirdo. And then you would like find someone and be like, this guy knows a lot about skateboarding. And then 3 weeks after like kind of getting drips and drafts from him, you'd be like, this guy's a fucking liar. This guy doesn't know anything.
Yes.
Yeah, he's just a weirdo 19-year-old hanging out at skate parks, kind of just charming 15-year-olds with his knowledge of skateboarding. When you become an adult and you just think back to like, of course, like 5 15-year-old kids, a 20-year-old kid comes up and goes, oh, you want to skate? You got to do this. You want to play this game? Like, we bet a dollar, like losing money and like buying this guy McDonald's. And we're like, oh, we're like, this was just bullying under the guise of like, we're learning.
Yeah, yeah. It's like rife for predators. Where you're like, you're very in danger of being like, you're my mentor? Oh, no, no, I'm in trouble. Like, this is all fucking bad.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's literally like one in every six, like, after school specials is like, my piano teacher, my taekwondo instructor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. That was an important thing for me growing up, this like learning from older people of like, I don't know, man. I didn't feel comfortable at school, really. You know what I mean? I didn't like it there. Like, I didn't.
No,
really
it sucked.
There. Yeah, it was awful. Pretty much.
It's not built
time.
For like kids.
Yeah. No. No. It's not. It's built for 38-year-olds. That's what fucking high school is for.
I know. I would probably crush now. Although I would not have such a hard time paying attention. I don't know how kids. They have phones now. If I had like, you know, like. I didn't even have Game Boy when I was that young. If I would have had Game Boy in like junior high, I would have been toast. I would have been a fucking dropout. Like,
dude. Yeah. And if you're all smart, I'm sure you're learning at a rate that is just completely exponential, that like your teachers have no idea the amount of information you have been able to access.
I was learning faster than my teachers could teach me. And I didn't even have the internet. I just like watched movies and had a dad who's like, here's a book. You know what I mean? And like,
right. And
I would go to school and I'd be like, oh, you have to be at everyone else's pace. You have to be at everyone else's pace. This is infuriating. And it's like, I'm so bored. I'm so bored. Well, time to start acting up. You know what I mean? And then
Yeah. Eventually
you're just like, everyone sits on all ends of that spectrum. There are people who are behind everything that's happening in class and can't catch up. There are people who want to watch everything that's happening in class, but the guy like me is wising off and ruining it for them. And it's like, we shouldn't all, it's too mandated. I mean, the thing it taught me about the most is that sometimes you got to wake up early and do something that fucking sucks just to stay alive. Like, this, and honestly, the skill set like school teaches you is at minimum that of like, you have to just show up every day early and do something that, I was just talking to Joe Quazala about this. I was like, church like taught me that of like, now I can sit through an hour of anything. I'm an atheist, but my mom made me go to fucking mass every Sunday. Now I can do anything for an hour because
that lesson is so fucking dark. That's like a Dostoevsky novel or something. Like, look, you're gonna have to show up at the mines even though you're nine. And like, you
know, right.
Nightmare. Right. Like, of course I hated that shit.
Yeah, and it just sucked. So, and you know what? It's funny. Like, we'll tie this back to skateboarding. There was a sort of like, was skateboarding as anti-school as school was anti-skateboarding? My school kind of treated skateboarding like it was marijuana.
Yeah.
Like it was like a gateway to hell. They were like, like you couldn't have skateboards at school. You couldn't, like, if you skated to school, you weren't even like really allowed to skate to school because you couldn't have your board in your locker or anything like that. Because, I mean, because you would take it out and the hallways at a high school are fucking phenomenal for speed.
Yeah, it's all perfect. Well, yeah, people hate it, dude. And there's a bunch, like, there are kind of like sort of the practical reasons why they hate it, which makes sense, right? It's like loud. You kind of, you I guess you do some property damage. Those are,
it's a little, it's a little dangerous. If you're a teacher, you don't want to be dealing with like broken collarbones every Thursday because some kid biffed it, you know?
Yeah. But I really do think there's got to be a little bit of jealousy in there. Like, it's just so cool. I don't understand why everyone didn't try to do it. I think they didn't because it is hard. And it is so hard. Like,
so far. I tell you I was 14 and for a year I couldn't do an ollie. And I was skating 4 or 5 days a week.
I started skating when I was 8 years old. It took me 2 years to learn how to roll comfortably. And in a way that was impressive. Like, navigate fucking, like, sidewalk cracks and like little hips and stuff. You know what I mean? It took 2 years, you know? So it's like the sort of concept. And this was addressed by Seinfeld and the Chris Rock thing where he's like, the skateboarders are going to be all right. They just try shit over and over and over and over. And it's like, yeah, because he's a master of observation. You know what I mean? It's like, you have to have a large capacity to understand human behavior, to see the dedication and the power of it. When an uninformed and an unenlightened view would be like, well, that's pretty lazy, just because they're not doing exactly what you think they should do, you know?
Right. Yo, and you just opened something up for me. Maybe that's why skateboarding didn't stick with me, because you have to, like, try something a bunch until you start getting it right. And that is, like, not a skill set I'm built for. As I'm venturing into stand-up comedy in my 40s, away from, like, improv and, like, weird performance shit, I'm learning that, like, trying to do something again after it going okay, even when it goes well, I'm like, I don't want to do this again, but I gotta if I want to get it really good. And then,
dude,
it's in
you are it's go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
No, please interrupt. I'm gonna do it to you back. So
bad
set pot. The tone. Yeah.
Well, dude, no, I just did a mic last night. So I put out this. I did improv in Chicago for. I started in St. Louis and did IO, did Second City out here, whatever. Like 15 years of it, and then I started doing stand up like maybe. I started in 07, but I started doing it for real like 6 or 7 years ago, right? Yeah. Dude, I am with you so hard. I went and did a mic last night, and I was like, oh, I've never been good at anything ever in my life. Ever. Everything is a nightmare. That's how I usually, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I listened back, and I'm like, that was actually fine. I'm just working on new jokes, and that's always hard.
So right, if you were like, I can't land this 7 stare. And it's like, well, if you never did it before, you're not going to do it right the first time.
You shouldn't be able to. It's impossible. Like, you shouldn't be able to do comedy in front of human beings. That is a horrific nightmare to even consider. you know?
And there's no, like skateboarding, there's no way to practice it besides doing it.
That's exactly right. And that's what I swear. I think skateboarding's the only thing harder than stand-up. That's what I think.
Wow, I like that. I take AG1 in the morning before I even make my coffee, before I do anything. It's the first thing that goes in my system. Maybe a couple of sips of water, but first thing, big old glass of AG1, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. Like I'm doing something, a small, tiny step in the health direction for my body, which is the first step of the day. And then hopefully I'll continue to make more and more healthy steps throughout the day, leading to when I go to bed and I've had a full healthy day. And thanks to kicking it off with AG1, one scoop is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients of the highest quality. And I like to get those in first thing in the morning. Make one healthy choice and then your whole day follows after that. Not to mention the actual good that comes from taking AG1. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/mighty. That's athleticgreens.com/mighty. Check it out, athleticgreens.com/mighty, mighty. Try it free for 30 days is enough time to try and completely forget about a subscription or service. Before you know it, you're paying for a subscription you don't use, or you and your partner are double paying for one, or you don't know how realize how much money you have in subscriptions out there. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills. all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, like that streaming service you bought just to watch one thing and then forgot to cancel because your friend was in it or your friend recommended it. Maybe not everyone has friends and stuff like me, Hollywood elite. Look, over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. It's super easy to use. People love it. It's a way to save money and way to keep track of all the stuff that's out there. You know how all these corporations, they want to take advantage of you. They want you to set it and forget it and just make passive money off you when you're not even using their product. A la gym memberships, a la every company now needs memberships. It's so frustrating. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/mighty. That's rocketmoney.com/mighty. 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 I like finding the commonalities here because you saying, I even like just stand around watching other people rip it. That is comedy too. You're like, I'm up fifth. It's like, okay, I'll watch a few of these guys. They're like, oh, that's pretty solid. That's not my style, but that's a cool move. You know, like it's practically like, and then you're like, all right, I'm up. Time for me to skate up to the rail and see how I do.
Completely. And I'm really, because I can be so like judgmental and pissy. I'm really trying to get into what you're talking about, which is, and I'm doing it. I'm loving it. I went with my buddy to go. We went to the improv the other night, and then we just went to this other spot. This dude who runs a show called The Setup, and I just got to see some amazing comedians. And I think because you're 41, I'm 43, like I'm finally, I think, getting to the point where I can separate my ego enough to just enjoy somebody else's talent. And I'm telling you, that's been like a 15-year journey for me,
bro. It's not even my ego. It's come to me to like it. It requires me to see someone better than me, and eliminate the I'll never be that good. And yes. It's like, well, you might not, but you can still have a career in comedy and not be as good as this comic you like who you're watching currently. Like you don't have to be as good as Hedberg to be good at stand-up.
Like, that's exactly, yeah. And it's so exactly right, because we come at it from this very, I will say, forgive the pretentiousness, but from this very Western view of value assessment all the time, when the reality is like you get to be you, that's it. You can't, you know what I'm saying, like the same right. With skateboarding, like they people just want to see Andrew Reynolds skate now. It doesn't matter that he's not as good when he was 24, and like those both of those experiences have value. That's why they're art forms, when we tend to think about it like a fucking basketball game, and it's not. This guy's better than me, this guy's worse than me. That's not an accurate reflection of reality. They're just fucking different. And they got more laughs that night.
Right. And Chappelle's making more money than ever, and he's the worst he's ever been.
Dude.
Like, and people want to see him. People want to see him because he's Chappelle and he is a legend and he's still got it. He's just not nearly as good as he used to be, but no one's going there and being like, this isn't as good as it used to be. Everyone's like, this was fun.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean? Like, and yeah. No, like watching the Reynolds skate, you're not like mad that he used to be better. You're just happy to be watching him do his thing. Yeah.
Yes. And hearing those skateboarders talk, they have to arrive at that understanding too, because it's hard for them to want to go out and film a video part if they're not fucking kickflip back lipping a 16 stair. You know what I mean? But
right. But
the reality is like it's important for everyone to express themselves in any way they see fit, because that's part of what makes us human beings, you know?
Yeah. And going back to what you said, that Western valueism thing, but a while back, Ira Glass like had this quote that was something of like, when you're a fan of something,
yes. It's
hard to like, because the whole time I'm doing stand-up, I'm like, this is like so-and-so, this sucks, I mean, I'm not even as good as this person who I dislike,
yes.
And I'm not, at, like, and I'm like, I'm worse than them, and it's like, skating has that too, where you're like, oh man, I love Chad Muska, if I could be even older, like, I love Chad Muska's style, and it's like, I can't do that, and it's like, that doesn't mean you shouldn't stick with skateboarding.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but it is what your brain tells you of like, shit, I'm never going to be like that. Why would I want to do it? But
yeah. Then
I'm in something for the wrong reason if I want to be the best at it, Because it's like, that is a lie to myself. Like, yeah. I can't, I don't think there's something I could start right now and by the end of my life be considered the best at it, period.
Yep.
Like, just even just based on my taste profile, my timeline, like, I just don't think I could focus on any. And I'm like, but would I want to be the best at anything? Like, no, not necessarily. Like, so why the fuck do I care? You could be the 70th best stand-up comic. You know, this is a subjective, weird way to explain,
right.
You know, like,
no, but it's how we think about things. Yeah, yeah, totally.
You could be the 70th best and have a solid career and, you know, rent a nice place in West Hollywood, you know, or right. a shitty place in West Hollywood, like whatever.
Well, dude, and there's so many, there are comics who like very few people know, but to us, they're the best, right? You're like,
right.
For me, it's like you're Maria Bamford's, you're Eddie Pepitone's, like these people who are, to me, are miracles. But they're not nearly as huge as other insane, you know, as your Chris Rocks. And I love Chris, whatever. But like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like there's all these different variables about you might be, quote unquote, the 70th best. But to somebody who hears you and your shit means something to them, you're number one in their hearts, baby. Last
right.
call sheet, number one in the heart.
Well, yeah, like we always used to say, like, every band, no matter how bad they are, is at least one person's favorite band.
Yeah.
Like, just by odds, somebody, like, that's how I learned that, like, shit fetishes existed. It's like, you know, it's like everything, someone likes everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's like, it's like this, set up this insane scenario, pick anything you want, Mad Lib an insane phrase, and that's somebody's fetish. And that's one person's favorite artist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and
you
so,
know, like, God, like, what gets me off is putting a whole horse's head in my mouth. Like, I wish that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you like, might be the first. It. Yeah, and all of a sudden you're like, you guys know Mort Burke, the guy, the horse head mouth guy? Have you seen it? I can't stop watching it. It's, I didn't know this was something I wanted. Now I can't live without it. Like,
I gotta jack off to it.
Can't stop. I'm creaming all day long.
Wife left me. It's a problem.
She left me. She said, it's me or the horse. I kept the horse.
I immediately locked the door behind her. And
I'm at this age in my life, and the pandemic kind of activated this in me, where I'm looking at, like, nostalgia. Like, I wouldn't say, like, I jokingly called it weaponizing nostalgia to my wife, but I didn't even mean it like that. I mean more like, there's all this stuff I used to love and I think I don't have time for, and I'm always like, I wish I could exercise more. I wish I could meditate more. And it's like, used to really love surfing, and that combines both of those. And now you feel like too old and too fat to surf. But over the pandemic, I like got back into it. And I was like, oh, even being bad at this for a couple of hours is a treat.
Yes.
And then I like, when I put that together, that's why the second you sent skateboarding, I was like, I have no desire to like go back and start skateboarding now due to absolute fear of injury. But it's that energy of like, that meant a lot to me for a short period of time. And if I could harness that to, so I started taking like martial arts and going surfing again, because I was like, these are two things I loved. And now I need to get movement for like survival. And like, I need to like, you know, some sort of social connection outside of comedy and, what's the word I'm looking for here? Substances outside of comedy and substances, even though that's a huge Venn diagram. That's just a circle.
Right.
Outside of those two, I need to like find social activities and finding, going back to that shit. I was like, oh yeah, I loved it then. I still love it now.
Yes.
And it makes me feel, and this insane preamble, believe it or not, is a question eventually is, but it makes me feel, it makes me feel like I felt then, even if it's not the same. Now, how do you feel when you skate these days? Like, there's something, and especially now that you live in LA and you're moving towards, you know, you're chasing your dream. You got some friends back home that are like, you're like, yeah, I went surfing the other day. They were like, oh my God, I couldn't even. And you're like, no, it's like the best thing I've ever done emotionally for myself.
Well,
and it's like,
dude, I feel like my friends that I grew up with are all kind of the weird artist type. So they get it. Even if it's just like, they're still really into watching movies, or they still
right,
like,
yeah.
I got a buddy that makes his money playing violin, like all over Missouri. And he's really talented. He puts out records all the time, like really good pop records. And like, that's the kind of people I'm still friends with. And those people are like, they get it. Like I went and saw, this is, I think, related. I went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy 3 the other night, and I had an an entire emotional growth process around this movie, right?
Talk to me. I saw this. Tell me what activated you.
So I get there and the first, spoiler alert, whatever, the first song of the soundtrack is Creep by Radiohead, right?
Oh.
And this activates my judgmental, pretentious head, which goes like, there are 19 better Radiohead songs that they could have used. You got all kinds of B-sides. You got all sort of more like nuanced work, all sort of like all kinds of more progressive, interesting songwriting, whatever. And by the end of the movie, I was able to let myself goddamn relax and have some fun and ignore what the might have been the faults of this movie and go on a journey with it. And then I skated because I'm in Culver and I skated to the movie theater, which is a lot of fun. I'm walking out in the movie theater and this guy goes, hey man, are you any good on that skateboard? And I go, man, I used to be a lot better than I am now. And he kind of laughed, you know, as a young guy. And then I skated home. It's about 11 p.m. Glorious night wind on my face, standing up straight in the middle of the street, like, shredding down Duquesne in Culver City in the middle of a fucking hot LA night, and it was gorgeous. And there was something about this journey I had with this silly movie opened my heart enough that this random stranger talked to me. That's when you know you're in a good space, I think.
Yeah, when you have like talk to me face, I always joke like,
oh really?
I just have like a look on my face that people go like, crazy how expensive Butterfingers are, huh? And I'm like, yeah.
Okay, so let me say that I'm gonna give you a compliment, man, which is I'm not surprised you were able to find that love in surfing again, because talking about the way you were in the back of class and you're still that person, you've continued to hang on to that beautiful aspect of yourself. And they say that I saw a thing that said like a creative person is that's the part of the child that didn't die. So
ooh,
like,
hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. You like for all your faults, whatever they might be, you're clearly a person who like has a big open heart and people can probably sense that. You know what I mean? And I've had to work very hard to get to that place. Although I also probably appreciate it more than I would if I didn't have to do the work to get there.
Right. That makes total sense, man. It's rare, like, as a man in your 40s to be like, I had this blissed out moment skating down the middle of the street. Like, there's not many people who are experiencing that at our age. And that is, it's a bummer. It's a bit of a bummer for everyone else.
Well, because there's this weird kind of alchemy to get there for me, which is like, I got to let go of control a little bit, which I think I saw somebody just said this thing the other day to me, or today my buddy goes, about perfectionists, right? Which is a little bit what we're talking about with the stand-up thing, about like, why should I even do it if I can't be the fucking best? They were like, perfectionists don't want things perfect. They want them their way.
Ooh, right? Yeah. Ooh, because so like, who decides what's perfect, right?
Exactly, yeah. Right. And when I want it exactly my way, I'm not open to the process of letting it. Like, so I go to this mic last night. It's like, it's a beautiful mic. It's an LGBT mic. So I'm straight. So I truly am like honored to be there. Right. And it's great. Cause it's like, it's hilarious. Cause it's toxic in the other way you're not used to, or it's like, not, it's not anti-hetero, but like they get their jabs in and it's fucking hilarious. Super funny. And so now I'm just in this world where like people just don't want to hear from me as much as they maybe did. And that's okay. Like, that's another kind of acceptance I have to learn to grapple with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's beautiful. I get to learn how to hopefully like do a little better job of like, just be a people among people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I have this other friend and she's an amazing comic. I don't want to tell her name cause I don't want to tell her story, but she's gay and she's just gotten so much from going to these mics. Like she's like,
Wanda Sykes is doing mics? That's fucking bananas.
It was Ellen. All right. You want the fucking. So it was my goddamn friend, degenerous. She's in there.
My friend Ellen. You don't want to shit talk Ellen on a podcast, unlike every other person in Los Angeles.
Well, I'm not even going to talk shit. I'm just going to say that this person found their people and is able to celebrate who she is. And that shit is all that. When I'm talking about the community of the skate shop. I'm talking about the community of the thing, right? Because I go in being like, I want to be the best. But that's not what's meant to happen here. I'm meant to like have a fucking exchange with people.
I want to be part of something.
That's what like my heart wants. My head wants me to be the richest, hottest, just sexy as fuck, hot comedian that's ever lived. You know what I mean?
I got bad news, bud. You're never going to be rich. No, I'm just kidding. You are absolutely gorgeous, but the money's just not going to come. I'm sorry. Not in comedy anymore. It seems like it's gone. I think Tim Allen has it all, unfortunately.
Yeah, he deserves. He earned it, though.
Boy, yeah, he's a good guy.
He said more power, and America said, you're the greatest artist that's ever lived.
He snitched on his Coke dealer, and that's really fun. Yeah, because that is what, like, finding UCB, finding a rugby team, finding martial arts, finding surfing, finding a gym I like, finding a video game I like that I play with friends, you know, finding these things, you're like, oh, shit, I want to be the best. Oh, I want to be better than my friends at Diablo 4. It's like, no, I think you, it's, I'm going to be like just reading bumper stickers of cars that drive by, but it's like, it's about the, like, it's the path there. Like, I'm,
really?
And it really took the pandemic in combination with my age and a few decisions I made in life of like, I'm not going to have kids. Mm. I am not going to do a job just for money ever. So like, I'm in like this, I'm in like this weird thing where I'm like choosing to be moderately successful, hopefully, like hopefully more, ideally not less, but most likely just sort of like, yeah, it's like teacher money, but I am doing what I love or whatever. But I had to get to that headspace to start to like allow myself to even do things outside of comedy, which is crazy because I am not doing any less comedy stuff now than I was. But I had like this huge misconception with myself where I was like, I've said this on the pod before, but I'll just rattle through this story real quick. Five, 6 years ago, 20 years ago, I got really into snorkeling. I just like, I love the ocean, and I love this idea of like, you travel, you see new underwater worlds too, and you're like, fuck, this is rad. And it's like, we're not supposed to be here. Look at all this beauty. And then if you're like a stoner at all, you're like, just float over the top of like a city of like animals living, and you're like, I'm a superhero soaring over this. It's fucking rad.
Amazing.
So I fell in love with it. And I'm like, I love surfing. I love hanging out at the beach. I love snorkeling. I should get into scuba diving. That activates a fear in me. I'm a little afraid of constriction and not being able to get out of something in case I really want to get out of it, which is the biggest fear of scuba diving, is that if you're 40 feet down, you have to go up slow if shit hits the fan. And that scares me more than if I would fucking engage with a shark if I was allowed to just go like, all right, get out of here and swim as fast as I could. But then you get the bends, you know, less interesting Radiohead song, but you get the bends. So I never want. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do scuba diving. I'm like, as soon as I get my career to where I want it and I have the time and the money, I'm going to take I'm going to get scuba certified. And I'm going to go scuba diving. Mm-hmm. And 5 years went by before, and I was like, okay, what if you never get to this? And I don't even have the finish line sketched out. I'm just like, what if I never reach that point? Am I going to say I never scuba dive? Like, because I didn't get to this level of, I didn't get 3 seasons of a scripted series that I acted in. Then that's the arbitrary moment when I'm allowed to like scuba dive. Yeah. So I just like ripped the fucking Band-Aid off and got scuba certified. And I've gone scuba diving a few times since, and it's a fucking dream. And I almost just never did it. It didn't take away from my career. I'm not like, shit, I blew off an audition so I could scuba dive. Like, I don't know what I was telling myself. I was telling myself I didn't deserve these things.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, dude, it's this situation that I think happens, and I like this theme I think we're arriving at, which is like, there, to me, there's this purity of desire for experiences. That just babies have it, fucking elderly people have it, it doesn't matter. And whether that experience is scuba diving or wanting to try stand-up or skateboarding or whatever it is, that is the purity. And then there's this very complex world outside of it of status and employment and, you know what I'm saying? It's just a complex world that starts to get in the way of all this shit. So I think the challenge, if you want to be a person who doesn't end up like Daniel Plainview of There Will Be Blood, which is kind of my whole goal, right? Is like, all right, how can I like pull away the sludge from my heart that I decided I'm not, because to say to yourself, I'm not good enough, which I have said to myself a wild amount of times in my life in various different ways, is like, deeply cruel. Like, you would right. never say that if you had a kid or whatever, you'd never say that or to a good friend. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, dude, a therapist fucking read me so hard one time. I was doing like deep psilocybin therapy with a counselor, and she was like, you really do a lot of negative self-talk. And I'm like making jokes about it. And she's like, have you ever said anything nice about yourself earnestly? And
did I was you immediately like, start weeping?
I was like, oh, not without like four humorous caveats. Like, I'm right. like, I'm always like, I'm pretty strong, but that's because I'm 300 pounds and I've been lifting weights my whole life. I'm fat, really. I'm just a dumpy guy who happens to be able to move weight. And I'm
Fuck.
Like, and she called me on that. And she goes, would you talk to your partner like that? Would you? What if you met someone and they said, I've never positively talked to my kid. I've never said something positive about my partner.
Yeah. Think,
and You're I was like.
That person, that kid will shoot up a school. Like, it
right.
becomes, you know what I'm saying?
They'll either become a stand-up comic or a school
right.
shooter.
or it turns into fucking lung cancer. You know what I mean?
It's yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's, right? Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, we really do have the capacity to create our realities, but not in a secrety way of, like, if I think I want $1 million, I'll get it. It's not like that, right? It's much more nuanced than that. It's, like, it's a path of, like, yeah, getting rid of shit that is not that I think all the cruelty, that's not natural, right? Like, a child, if they're loved and held, they don't fucking talk to themselves that way. They're just they'll eat dirt. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, anyway, that's what I'm just trying to get back down to that little kid. And I want to make the joke of, like, you know, be a fucking idiot. But it's like, that's not what it is.
right.
You know?
But then, like, freeing yourself up to do these things. Now, it's not like you're Mort Burke, the skateboarding comedian, and everyone knows you because now you're like, but you're more yourself. Like, I'm more myself having done these things that intrigue me. And I'm more well-rounded, and I'm out doing and seeing new things that I realize, like, for my 20s and a large swath of my 30s, like, I was like broke and thinking, oh, if it's not work or comedy related, you shouldn't be doing it. Cause it's like, like you'll do stuff to just pay the bills, and you'll do stuff that's comedy and just hustle, grind. And then you're like a big, like my dad died like 12 years ago more at this point, like, like 13 or 14 years ago at this point. And he died with like a bookshelf full of books that he was going to read when he retired, when he finally had time. And it's just like that metaphor, as ham-fisted as it was, as blatant as it was, it fucking hit me square in between the eyes. And I was like, I cannot die having never scuba dived and been like, well, he at least grinded and guested on over 2,000 podcasts, you know what I mean? Like, told the same fucking story on 100 podcasts, unfortunately. So, like, I guess, like, you know, people say things like, get dessert, you know what I mean? Like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, if you think it's, like, dumb or weird for you to be doing something, that is more of a sign to me that you should be doing it.
Yeah, dude, because you, that level of freedom, you bring that kind of energy into the rest of the shit that you're doing, because you're going to learn stuff. You're
right.
going to have these new experiences that are going to allow you to, like, all right, and I'm like, let's say, okay, so you did the brave scuba diving thing. Like, you've done a lot of, just going to do stand-up is fucking brave. You've done a lot of brave, courageous shit, right? And it's like, that alone is inspiring to people. I was talking about my friend that went, who has had so much, like, just, like, cool experiences, and she's getting so fucking good at stand-up. Like, the special Spiritually Filthy that I did, she really helped me work on it a lot, like, because it's hard for me to get stage time out here. So I had to put this whole thing together, just mostly mics and booked shows and a lot of fucking like Zoom shows. Like, I would just go on Facebook and be like, all right, who from high school wants to watch me do 30 minutes right now? And I would have 10 people show up and do it over Zoom. And it was fucking like lifting weights underwater, right?
Yeah.
It was on Zoom, you know? So, but by the time, and I did all that shit, and my friend really helped me like get this set correct to the point where I was like, oh fuck, there's a really cool like through narrative to this. I'm now promoting my special, which you should go watch, because I'm
smart
really,
move.
I'm really fucking proud of it. I think it's really funny and cool, and she helped me so much, and now she's doing stand-up and it's changed her life. I really see that in her, and like That was not my fucking intention. My intention was to get 500,000 views on YouTube, and I'm furious that it's not there yet.
Oh, don't worry. Once you get the High and Mighty pop when this comes out, you'll be smooth sailing. Dude, the fucking YouTube partnerships will be rolling in.
You can send this to Apatow, right?
Yeah, totally. He's in. He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, whatever. If Seth Rogen could just check it out. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's truly more important. It just is. You know what I mean? Then like my little, there's nothing wrong with having goals and desires. I'm just saying like the butterfly effect thing, it does happen to people. And then too, if you're taking risks like that, you can do the important risk that is actually really hard for white men, which is to say like, hey, I feel really sad. I need to talk to someone about it.
Yeah, right. The biggest step of all is just copping to your own feelings. More you difficult. Know what I mean? Dude, more difficult than almost anything in the industry.
We'd much rather fucking get in a fist fight in a, go into a USC cage match or something right. Than like admit, like, I don't know how to do this thing. I need to ask for help. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been saying a lot lately that the words gone from the American lexicon these days are, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like no one says I don't know anymore. Everyone has a take on everything. And everyone knows everything. It's like, and no one will say they don't know because it's like, you know, like that energy of like, you haven't seen that movie? It's like, oh, you know? So it's like, there's like, and I don't knows and I'm sorry is like two things that we don't hear anyone like. People are like, fuck, I cannot apologize. I just have to hold on to this thought for some reason. And it's like...
Dude, and that like... So if you tell me a band, if you heard this band, I always go, I don't think so. When the reality is no. No, I fucking have not. Like, just say no. And that's also the part of me that needs to know everything about every fucking band that couldn't enjoy Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, because you're up there talking about Pablo Honey's fucking... sales or whatever, and you're like, wait, just it's a movie, it's one song, and it's a movie full of egregious needle drops. It's like, you're only gonna get let down more and more as like, as spoiler alert, as the entire cast of the movie dances to Florence and the Machine at the end.
Yes, fully slow mo, right? Exactly, and like the reality is, I fucking love that song. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
I love that song too.
I love movies. I love being in a cinema where there's a 15-foot raccoon having a gun pointed at his face. And is that manipulative? Yes. Is the CG leaving you with like some serious Uncanny Valley issues? Yes.
Yeah.
Is it also quite moving? And there's a level of like vulnerability and mythology to it that like really did a good job of helping me again to like, just be open to what the fuck is happening. Get more into my heart and more out of my head. And there's so much freedom in I don't know. I don't know means I can learn something.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like I've been also thinking a lot about cannabis lately and my relationship with it and trying to figure out what that is long term. But like, I think part of the appeal of cannabis is it kind of gives me the I don't know energy or I don't care vibe. Like that kind of gets me out of my head where it's like, I don't know. Who cares? Like, oh, yeah. Like, it knocks. I was talking to a friend about this today. It, like, knocks away anxiety and fear in a positive way. Mm. But if anxiety and fear is what drives you to want to succeed, too, it also knocks that out of the way. And then you realize you're just like, well, who cares if I don't fucking succeed? It's like, well, do you really not want to succeed? Like,
yeah.
I'm in this, like, weird push-pull with the fucking plant where I'm like, oh, I fucking love it. I couldn't live without it. It's my glasses. But I'm also like, are my glasses getting in the way of doing some other stuff that I want to do?
Okay, so this is funny you bring this up, dude, because I didn't plan on mentioning this, but today's my 15 years sober birthday.
Hey, congrats, man. That's fucking awesome. Good
and
for
I
you.
Say that so you know that I'm better than you. No, I because like, I fucking love drugs, dude. There's a reason I'm sober. It's because I fucking love alcohol. Like, I love booze. I love whiskey. I love Klonopin. I fucking love pills. I've never did mushrooms, but I'm certain I would love them deeply. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Those are the best.
What I should have done is not drank every day for 4 years straight and instead taken a summer where I just occasionally did mushrooms, but I couldn't do that.
No. So, and now it's like too late and your relationship dynamic is too like...
Yeah,
do mushrooms once, and then you're like, all right, we're going to Senor Frogs. It's like, no, Mort!
You fucking find me 30 years from now at Coachella, but there's no festival happening. Whatever, like, so, but here's what I think. My belief now is that, okay, I say this, and this, I try to say this without judgment, but I think that drugs are like steroids and that meditation is like going to the gym. That's what really, like, what I think. That, like, over a period of time with enough, like, discipline, and it's a weird fucking word to use the word discipline because it's not about discipline in the way we traditionally think about it. But, like, I'll tell you, man, I meditated today for, like, 20 minutes when I got up. That was really important because if I don't do that, I'm fucking insane when I wake up. That's what I've learned about myself. Like, I wake up terrified.
Talk to me a little bit about this practice because this is something I'm intrigued by and have been circling and have, you know, done one toe in kind of headspacey type shit. When you say when you wake up, is that like, all right, I'm up, I peed and pooped or whatever, I brushed my teeth, I'm going to go sit down and meditate, or I'm going to have coffee, do a couple of things, then sit, like, where does it fall in your day out of curiosity?
It's important for me to do it before I look at my phone.
Oh, yeah.
There's something very serious about, like, if I get engaged, and I've lived in California for fucking too long, but if I engage with that energy before I center myself, also, too, by the way, I'm like, we're living in a weird world where the corporations feed on our consciousness, right? So, yeah. Like, if I'm on
literally our time, the one thing we have is the one thing we are absolutely limited in is our amount of time we have on this earth. And there are countless entities with billions of dollars behind them fighting to take that time away from you.
Yes.
To give or not take it away from you, but to get you to use your time with them.
Right.
And also, if you're trying, like, to do other things, it is technically taking it away from you. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And also, like, who knows how many people are just projecting their fearful shit into this machine, right? Be it through, like, fear-mongering of any kind or, like, the hellscape that is Twitter, like, whatever we're talking about.
Yeah, you know, or even just, like, the sort of airbrushing, like, not copping to that. You know, like on Instagram, you see something and you're like, the world is burning, you fucking, I don't care about your puppy doing a cartwheel or whatever. Like, you can find yourself getting, dude, keep going. I'm sorry I interrupt you, but this phone thing is
hitting. No, it's all good. For sure. There's all of it, right? All the fucking, all the toxic positivity, all the toxic negativity, all of it, right? So I'm like, I need to spend some time with myself to frankly recognize how fucking crazy I am. Until that shit, like, starts to dissipate. And then I can access a different part of myself that is, like, it's just hard to describe. It's, like, broader. It's, like, when I wake up, all I get are the waves on top of the ocean. And then when I meditate, I'm, like, deeper down underneath it where shit is a little calmer and a little safer. And what happened today was I fucking get in the shower. It was so sexy. Again, I'm just really a hot dude.
But, yeah, you've achieved that goal. Money, not going to happen. But you are an absolute hunk.
Broke forever, but the jaw of a absolute A-list star. I have untreated ADHD, right? And I really am going to be getting into the place soon. I'm probably going to start taking some medication for it. But I was able to get a look at it today because I had fucking meditated. So, like, I was able to tell the difference between my thoughts, which were insane, and reality, which was not insane. Reality was fine, just my thinking was crazy. So I had probably 5 or 6 different voices in my head telling me to do a bunch of different shit at the same time, which actually makes it impossible to do anything, right?
Yeah.
Which is, like, sort of the fact of this condition that I have. It's both, like, frustrating, but also kind of fun. It a little bit reminds me of the way I would, like, get high and think about what I'm going to do, right? Yeah. I don't know if you're experiencing
it. Scratches that. The itch of productivity without ever having to do anything. That is, like, I've watched thousands of movies for research for a movie that I've never written. You know what I mean? Like, relatable as fuck, dude.
Yeah, dude. Exactly. And so it's interesting. So I have all these voices yelling at me. I feel kind of manic, but in a good way. And like I've done something, even though I haven't, you know. And the meditation was just allowed me to be able to fucking come down a little bit, relax, go do what I had to do today, which is go see some friends, like celebrate that this is a big milestone for me. And be more present in my life. I'll say this. To me, it takes most days it would be like from a 1 to like a 4 and like a 6 to like a 9 out of 10. And dude, That's all I need. I don't need to not experience anxiety. I just need to knock off like fucking 20% of it.
Dude, it's crazy you said, because I was thinking about, I'm trying to, you know, like realign, like break some patterns in my life right now and like reintroduce some new patterns. And one of the things I've been thinking about now, this for listeners, I've been recording episodes so I could take the summer off from High and Mighty. So if you've seen me recently and I'm 450 pounds and stressed to the gills, okay, I didn't start meditating as I promised in early June. But something I've been thinking about was you saying I meditate before I even look at my phone. I've noticed now for a while, the last thing I look at before I go to bed is my phone. As I like lay down, I'm like, oh, let me just read a few articles before I pass out, or tweets, not even articles. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, well, gotta go shit. Let me grab my phone and go sit on the toilet. And I'm like, now I'm first thing in the morning. And like in the morning, I'm getting better. I'm like, email, nothing super pressing to start thinking about while I'm on the toilet. Then I do Duolingo. And if I'm still there, I start playing like word games or whatever, just to get the brain going. It's my morning paper. But I'm starting to think it's not the right move for me, because then I'm like, I want to be on my phone less. And if I'm doing it right before I go to bed and first thing when I wake up, that can't be helping my ideas here. That can't be helping my path to being on the phone less. So
yeah,
I think
right.
I'm about to, before we got on, I set my alarm. I bought an alarm clock and I set an alarm on it for the time I want to start waking up. I'm not going to say it out loud because anyone with a real job is going to be like cackle at me. Cockle. He's cockling at me. It's when you laugh out of your urethra.
It's my only other fetish.
I wish I never saw the video. Now I can't fucking get off without it. But
the puppetry thing, I don't know. There's an art to it. Anyway, we'll talk about it.
I want to start waking up at 8 a.m. every day, every Monday through Friday at least. And I'm like, I should just leave my phone in my office and not go to it until like I have to. Like, yeah. And, you know, even like even sitting down at the computer to look at my email before looking at my phone feels, the phone just like locks me into a phone vibe all day. Like my buddy, co-host of the Action Boys, has a timed lockbox that he throws his phone in sometimes. And I'm beginning to think that might be a thing for me. It's like, because I can't even, something I love to do that is such low lift is watch a movie, and my phone will get in the way of that happening.
Oh,
something,
dude.
That is, it's not, forget the gym, forget writing the next great American novel. I can't even watch a movie because my phone is distracting me. And I get paid to watch movies, which is one of my favorite things in the world. And I still can't bring myself to sit down for 100 minutes and just not be like, let me pause it and just make sure everything's cool. And then I go on my phone to be like, oh, a text, let me respond. Okay, Instagram. Okay, Twitter. All right, back to Instagram. Oh, yep. Another text. And all of a sudden I'm like, well, 26 minutes has gone by. I know when I've been on my phone too long because my surround sound shuts off after like 20 minutes. So if I go to press play on it and it's off, I'm like, fuck, dude, that was too long of a break.
Because, dude, it has that level of hypnotization where you're like, I could have been 14 fucking hours. I have no idea. And, like, dude, it's weird, right? I mean, like, I don't know. It's, and I'm not trying to be a real technophobe, but it's weird that this thing, like,
they built it to be addictive on purpose. Like,
addiction is perfect for capitalism. I'm telling you, as a person who is deeply addicted to drugs and alcohol, like, it's not, the drugs and alcohol are not the problem. It's the way that I use the drugs and alcohol, right? So it's like, if this thing is the phone is acting as my best friend and sometimes my fucking mistress. And how creepy is that shit?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I have
sometimes I come while looking at it. Okay,
yeah.
Not ideal.
Yeah, saying that out loud is actually fucking awful.
Well, if you want to talk about classical conditioning, Jesus Christ, if it's Pavlovian, you're like, this thing gets me off every once in a while. Like, I can't, like, I had to stop watching porn on this monitor in the pandemic because I started using it so much for work that I was like, I can't just be at the I can't be zooming comics and 5 hours later jerk off in this chair. It just doesn't feel right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The fucking, yeah.
The wife also being home, the wife also working from home changed the whole jerk off dynamic as well. It's a little less frequent.
So, like, again, it's, the problem is not the phone at all. The problem is I had my fiance put fucking child lock on my phone so I couldn't have Instagram on Twitter on there because
wow.
I will lose 7 hours to it accidentally. And like, and that would be fine if it was a fun 7 hours. Like you're saying, like, dude, I'm watching movies again a lot and I'm loving it. It does feel like an accomplishment to truly sit down and watch like a fucking...
To watch a full movie now is like the equivalent of to reading a book when we were kids.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, totally. A fucking John Irving
novel.
To watch
a 2-hour movie that has no superheroes in it is exactly like reading a book. Like the energy that requires is like God help me if I'm trying to read a book, I'm fucking in over my head immediately. But
oh, dude, that's right. That's the next dream I have. Yeah, it's the I had a friend recommending stuff to me because we had another buddy who was like, and I thought this was smart. He was like, this is a friend of mine who reads all the time. He's like, people don't read because they're all trying to read like the classics, capital L literature. He's like, read what you want. This dude loves fantasy. So he's always reading like 500-page fantasy novels. You know what I mean? Because it's not a challenge for him.
Right. And that's over the pandemic. That's how I got back into reading. I was like, let me go to like pure candy reading for myself. And I'm like, well, it's just still better than surfing Instagram all day, like for my
dude,
brain.
Yeah. You're a fucking very open dude. You have a lot of, I don't know if people tell you this, you have a lot of cool, like, you have a large spectrum of interests. You're a very open person, and I would like to acknowledge that and say I think it's fucking rad.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I've always kind of, high and mighty, the premise of this podcast pretty much stemmed from how disparate my interests are and how my superpower is I'm able to converse with just about anyone.
Incredible.
Like, I abuse that for this show. So this is so rad to get the compliment. And look, I'm being positive about myself on top of it.
Well, dude, it takes work. That learning how to compliment yourself or whatever, it's like playing guitar. It feels like you're fucking breaking your own back at first. Like, it feels so gross and weird. And then after a little while, you're kind of like, actually, I probably am kind of funny. I've been doing comedy successfully for a while. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe the several hundred people in my life who've told me I was funny or like laughed at me when I purposely attempted to be funny. Maybe I should take away that I am pretty funny. Like nope, that's not what I'm going to go with. Okay, I'm going to go with like, it's such bullshit that I didn't get a Superstore recurring guest star. Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. That's a good use of your brain space, dude. Way to fill up your RAM with that fucking program running.
That's such a funny thing, too, that like I get here and I'm like, oh, who told you Hollywood was going to be easy? You know what I mean? I often will get into that space of being like, yeah, what do you think's going to happen? Of course you did 1 million auditions and got almost nothing. Like, that's right. What it's supposed to look like, dude.
That's what it's like for almost everyone, except for the 5 to 10 people you're thinking about when you go up there, where you're like,
yeah.
And the more successful your friends get, it isn't necessarily better for your brain. It's cool to see my friends rock on. But then it's also like, well, in that case, seems like it is my turn. And then it's like, oh, okay, no,
yeah.
Wait. What made me think it was my turn? Oh, just because I'm sitting at the same I didn't order the pizza. Why did I think I got a slice of this? Like, I got to fucking earn it. Yeah.
And it does feel like that. If I put an X number of hours in, I will receive something. Well, I'll say this. My manager broke up with me like 2 years ago or something. And it really did.
Interesting choice of words there.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. It's intentional.
Broken up, not fired, not like stopped working with me. Broken up. Yeah.
Yep. That's what it felt like.
Yeah. I bet. I've had to do it. And it's hard. I've stayed in relationships for a year longer than I should have because I just couldn't bring myself to end it.
Yeah, totally. And once again, Mort Burke, spiritually filthy, just an A+. But it gave me the opportunity to really focus on actual comedy because auditioning for stuff for me is a huge emotional effort. Like it just is. I wish it wasn't. I wish I couldn't. I wish I could go in and not give a fuck. Whatever,
I wish I didn't tie all my self-worth into like what this random casting director thinks about me.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree.
For this multicam, I do not like, you know?
Oh, dude, that's the most unfortunate thing too. Like my buddy called me out one time. He's like, would you even be happy with that job? And I'm like,
nope.
No, probably not. He's like, then why are you mad that you didn't get it? I'm like, oh. Yeah. And then this is something I've been battling with recently is like, oh, because I wanted the money. It's like, well, if you really want money, then acting is not the way to get, like, then like Hollywood's not the way to get it.
Yeah,
there's other ways to get money if you really want just the money. And I'm like, no, I guess it's not just the money that I want. What do I want? What am I seeking? Validation?
Yeah.
And would I be validated in an uncreative role as like the fifth person on a show? I would love to be part of an ensemble. I love collaboration, but it's not like now I'm happy. My dream is achieved. I'm like, I'm a, I'm Dave's fifth friend on Dave. You know what I mean? Like,
well, dude, and I've been very lucky. The stuff I've gotten to work on is actually fucking excellent. Like, I actually get to be on stuff where the people are generally really kind, super talented, and psyched to be there. Like, that's just my experience with television. And apparently, it's
and that should
rare.
Be the and that should be the fucking metric you go by, right? And it's not yep. like instead you're like, well, there's this show that's more popular or pays better or has more prestige, and it's like. Yeah. No, I had an amazing time. Like, not everyone else gets that. Like, that should be an... Like, I've been saying to myself about the travel show, the season was the gift. Like, yeah. Because I'm like, I want more. It was the best opportunity I ever had. I want to do more of it. And it's like, well, what if you did none of it instead? It's like, then you'd be so thankful to have 8 episodes. So, like, getting myself into that headspace of, like, that was the prize. It's yeah. not a third season of a show is the prize. Like, so few people get anything on the air. I got a thing, and that's yeah. like a victory. But I don't look at it as a victory because I want more. When I guess ambition's not necessarily a fully negative thing, but if right. you can't turn and enjoy what you did get, then ambition is getting in the way there a little bit.
Yeah, and like, and so when I did step away from auditioning for stuff, which I still, whatever, I'll go out for stuff occasionally. It's great, and I'm on a little thing right now, and it's fucking excellent, and I love it, but it's like, stepping away from it also made me realize, like, whoa, fuck, this was really affecting my self-confidence. Oh. Like, in a way that I didn't think, like, of people are like, how do you take so much rejection? I was like, I don't even think about it. It just, I don't hear no, I just don't hear anything and it goes away. But over a long period of time, I realized, like, yeah, man, and it's also, it's the way that I view the experience, too. It's like, I treat the fucking casting director like they're my principal who's pissed at me. They're not. It's a fucking random lady who cares about performance. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So like, but it's the energy that I come in with. So when I stepped away from that shit, I was just to be able to be like, oh, I fucking really, I have done a lot of live performing and I really love it. And I want to try and get back into loving it, man.
Yeah. Anyway. That's so fucking real.
I treated improv like I was trying to become the CEO of some place. And I love improv, but I, you know, and you do this in your 20s and 30s. It's fine. I did fucking 15 shows a week or whatever. It's like, it was great. I loved it. That's not where I'm trying to be right now, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's so fucking, and before we get into your plugs here, just all the two things that I've connected over this conversation is I'm going to eliminate I've already done this for when me and my wife smoke weed together. I've eliminated phones. Like, we're not allowed to be on our phones if we smoke together. We have to just, like, one vice at a time kind of situation. Yeah. Nice. But I found when I'm on my phone and smoking weed at the same time, I'm doing two things at the same time that are, you know, bad, naughty.
Sure.
And I'm not really enjoying either of them. It's like, okay, yeah, yeah. Like if I'm gonna, like, let me be, if I can't be present for the duration of a joint,
right,
then
right.
I don't know if I should be doing drugs.
Yeah, like, if you're doing cocaine and hiring a sex worker and you're hating it, just don't do any of it.
Yeah, right. Do one or the other, yeah. And if it's
if it's fun, do it. If you are sweaty and mad at yourself, just don't fucking do it anymore.
Right, so I feel like, getting the phone out of that's a step one. Getting the phone off my nightstand's another step. Huge thing for me was becoming a fanny pack guy.
Because
then when I'm at a place, my phone is in the fanny pack. I don't feel any vibrations. I don't feel the impulse to look at it. And if I'm at a friend's house, I just throw it in the pile of purses like all the women do.
Yeah.
Oh, is this where we put in our bags? Great. There's my fanny pack with my phone if I ever need it. But yeah. I won't take it out of my pocket out of social anxiety or boredom at any
totally.
Point.
Which is yeah. so subconscious. It's like the way I don't smoke anymore, but the cigarette was in my mouth and lit before I even decided I had. It's the same thing with the phone. I'm
Dude,
looking at it before I make the decision. You know?
I was like, the wait at the fucking grocery store was one person in front of me.
Yeah.
And my phone was in my backpack and I started taking it out while I waited for, and I was like, you can live in this moment for five. You went to church for an hour a week. You went to That's school right. 6 hours a day. You could fucking wait for one lady in front of you to get two bags of groceries done. I'm going to just open up the 5 refresh apps and get no new info. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, it's great.
I just want to say one more thing too about the meditation or whatever is that they say this, and I think it's really true. Like, 1 minute is better than none. If you can't, it took me a long time to be able to do 20 minutes consistently. A long time. You know
and
I mean?
even and 20 bad minutes is 20, good.
Dude, 20 bad minutes are the best, because 20, when you sit with 20 bad, you've like, for me, it's hard. But then when I'm done, there's something about that fucking race in my head. The runners have all started to slow down and they're a little more exhausted. I just let them do their shit, you know?
Yeah, I found that as I got into saunas recently, I'd be like, oh, I wonder how much of the enjoyment of this is just 20 minutes of no input. Like, yes, the heat and all that shit is very good for you. Heat shock proteins, contrast therapy, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But the idea of just like 20 minutes where my phone will overheat or 20, like I can't like listen to a podcast or something. It's just 20 minutes where I have to sit with my hot ass thoughts. That shit fucking works for me. Yeah,
it is like, funny that we're saying this while we're on a podcast. It's like a dessert chef trying to talk to you how to handle your diabetes.
Or I know. I'm like, please listen to my show in the sauna. Fuck meditation. Please watch Mort Burke special. Like, do not watch. Do not fucking exercise. Do, you know. Mort, I love a conversation with another 40 plus person that starts about skateboarding and by the end of it is like, well, here's what you need in your psyche to like tackle life. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah. This is why all my conversations like spiral to this now. Listeners of my podcast are so like, just talk about fucking General Tso's for a little bit for once.
That's good. That'll be your next episode. The whole General Tso's episode.
So where can people watch Spiritually Filthy? Anywhere.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. So it came out on 800 Pound Gorilla. So it's which is you know, a label, and so it's on Spotify and Apple as an album, which I'm hyped about. And yeah, you can just YouTube Spiritually Filthy.
That's awesome. As a matter of fact, Emma, if you did it right, and I know you did, if you click on Mort's name or right next to his name in the show notes of this podcast, it should be a link directly to his YouTube special. So check it out there. And anything else you got going on, Mort? Anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, watch Mythic Quest on Apple TV.
Oh, shit, yeah. I've been meaning to. I truly have. Didn't know you were part of that, and that's all the more reason to check it out.
Fun one.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming by the High and Mighty Studios virtually and getting into it with me. I just caught a fly out of the air with my hand.
Did you catch it?
Yeah, still got it, baby.
That was
pretty fucking impressive.
Dude, although, thanks for having me. Go ahead. Sorry.
I did the childish thing of like, oh, I got a fly in my hand, and just flicked it into like my dresser. So like, I was like, I killed the fly, but its dead body is somewhere amongst my clothes now.
That's good.
Mort, this was a real fucking pleasure, dude. I enjoyed chatting with you from a literal stranger to finding out how much shit we have in common in 1 hour is pretty impressive, man.
I'm psyched to be here, man. Thank you. This is a blast. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So check out Spiritually Filthy. And as for me, you could always listen to Action Boys, my Patreon podcast about action movies. It's not for everyone, but maybe it's for you. And then also, you can check out 101 Places to Party Before You Die, the one beautiful season, now on something called Max. Hopefully it's still there by the time this airs, but it should be, because there's no residuals involved, so I bet you Zaslav will leave it up.
About to strike, baby.
Yeah, let's go, baby.
Go.
Bye, shitheads.
I am mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow,
someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room with them.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dark.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys.
boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!